Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
I'm Greg Lancaster. Joining us today is Pat Hamilton.
Hello, hello.
And John Ramos.
Hello, hello.
You know, I'm thinking about the statement, what's the point? You know, what is the point? It's important. It's amazing how many people live their life and never ask themselves that question. What's the point? Why am I doing what I'm doing? And it's like, have you ever even pondered the idea? I mean, you ever cry? You're just like, and they're like, well, no, it's what somebody else did. So I just started doing it. And what is it? We don't really know what it is, but we're just doing it.
Right.
And you know,
it's always been this way.
It's always been this way. And it's like, well, you know, what's the point? You know, and I think about, There's three types of folks, and I want to be able to talk about it, because it's kind of just really the question we need to ask ourselves: which one are we? Which one do we want to be? There's a first type of person who, you know, then we're talking about people who profess to be believers, that they are a person that are more like hearers. They're like hearers, like hearing with your ears. It makes me think about James chapter 1. I mean, they're such good hearers. They're such good hearers that they even dress up. They dress up with some of the very most expensive clothes they have, and they build buildings and with nice, comfortable seating to be able to show up, to sit there and be very attentive to hear what's being taught, to hear a preaching, a message.
Mm-hmm.
And they're such good hearers, and they're so dedicated that they even prepare for next week. They're planning on coming back to the same place with different expensive clothes on to hear again. And they're so dedicated, they will even sit there and hear you out for 10 or 20 years. They're not planning on doing anything with it, but they are hearers. I mean, they'll go, that was just, I like the rhythmic parts of that. And, you know, you're a front loader and you're a downloader, how you brought that thing in here. And man, that was just, oh my goodness, I heard that. You know what? I'm so moved and touched. I'm going to come next week and I'm going to hear it again. I just can't wait to hear you. And it's like, what's the point? It makes me think of James chapter 1, verse 22. He says, do not merely hear or listen to the word and so deceive yourself. Do what it says. Why do you think that man or woman of God is pouring their heart out? You want to encourage them? After you hear it, do it. I'm trying to think of a way to have Pastor's Appreciation Day. Do what they've been teaching you for 10 years. Right? He says, this is what he says. He says, James says, do not merely listen or hear the word and so deceive yourself. And right now in America, you have to admit, there's a lot of hearers. I mean, they are dedicated hearers. They'll build huge edifices, huge buildings and organizations just to hear. And what's interesting thing that those who are teaching them don't even ask this question here. What's the point? What's the point? You know, I'm not an entertainer. I'm trying to teach you what to do. Oh, we hear you. Right, we hear right. you. And he says, and he says, do what they say. In verse 23, he says, anyone who hears or listens to the word but does not do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in the mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. See, hearers are like, well, that was great. Wasn't that wonderful? I like your dress. That's a nice suit. Isn't that wonderful? Did you hear the band? Did you hear how they, did you hear? Oh, it was just wonderful. It was just so. And by the time you get to the car, gets to the car, all they can think about is the ball game. And if somebody held a gun to their head, they couldn't tell you one thing they heard.
Nope.
Because that's not their point. Their point was, I just wanted to hear it. And then I want to leave it. And I will hear you again next week. I am a loyal hearer, deceived in all I do. But then there's another one. No, it makes me even think about this. It makes me think about In the hearers, it makes me think about James chapter 2, verse 14. He says, what good is it? He's like, what is the point? James is saying. He said, what good is it, my brothers, if a man claims to have faith and has no deeds? What's he saying? If you hear it, but you don't do it. Can such faith save him? Can hearers be saved? Suppose a brother or sister is without clothes or daily food, and if one of you says to him, go, I wish you well. I've heard that you had problems. Keep warm and well fed, but does nothing about his physical condition, what good is this? In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by doing something, by action, it's dead. So what does that mean? It means if you're a hearer, and listen, I understand you may have been around hearers for some time now, and it's amazing how much money they put into hearing, and it kind of makes you think, like, it's got to be right. I mean, they're putting so much money into this whole thing, and they do say amen, and they do, and the one who teaches doesn't even mind if they don't do it, and so maybe we're just supposed to hear. And then I get in trouble if I start doing it because they think I'm competing against them. And mm-hmm. So I think maybe I'm just supposed to hear. I don't know what it is. Deceived. That's what it is. That's what he says. Then you have the do. The doers. I'm just a doer, you know. The doers. You know, you go to, all the people are concerned about is just doing something. The social justice movement, just doing something. You know, you know, the people don't care about you. They just want to know what you do. You go to a meeting of people who are into doing and not into faith doing, but they're into doing. They just go, you call them pancake breakfasts or whatever. They go, hey, how's things going? Good. What you doing? What do you do? And the other one says, what are you doing? Mm-hmm. What'd you do? Oh, you're doing that? I'm doing this. It's like, this is a doo-doo meeting. That's all we're talking about. I'm dying and you don't care. You just want to know what I'm doing.
All right.
And you walk in feeling like doo-doo, and you leave feeling with a bigger pile of doo-doo. Right? It's like, yeah. You don't even care that your brother's dying. All you want to know is his doo. Mm. And then, you know, a doo-doo meeting is people who are concerned about losing their value in men's eyes, because if your pile of doo-doo is not bigger than their pile of doo-doo, then they feel less valuable. Paul said, I consider it all doo-doo. Mm-hmm. I consider it all dung. And James talks about this when he starts talking in his word. He says, listen, you got to be a doer. You got to be a hearer and a doer. But there's people that just say, I don't have time to hear the word. I don't have time to go sit with a fellowship and hear the taught word of God. I don't have time to read my Bible. I'm part of the 81% that read my Bible. But I'm doing me, and I am doing. Look at my T-shirt. Have you seen my bumper sticker? Mm-hmm. You know, I am a doer. I am a doer. Not a hearer, just a doer. And then you have one other type of person. Hoodoo. Don't tell me there's not no hoodoo going on. Hoodoo has always happened since day one. And these are people who think they are what they do. They are their gift. I call it hoodoo. You know, if they didn't have their gift, they wouldn't know who they were. And so the hearers have no problem with hoodoo because it gives them something to hear. And the hoodoos really like to hear hearers because they have somebody to hear their hoodoo.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And the doo-doers don't even know this is going on because they're not planning on hearing in the first place. And they might have a gift of prophecy. They might have a gift of administration. They may have a gift of giving or whatever it is, but that's their gift. That's what they do. Miracles, tongues. But hoodoo, total hoodoo. But it makes me think of what Jesus said about hoodoo. It's in Matthew chapter 7. He was talking about these guys. He says in Matthew chapter 7, verse 21, he says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father in heaven. See, the difficulty with the hearer, they're not planning on doing. So they actually heard what they're supposed to do, but they're not going to do it. The problem with the doer is they're doing what they think is right, but not the will of the Father. Now, the difficulty with the hoodoo is they're actually being worshiped. They're actually wanting, they like the adoration and all that's being given, because people, they are what they do. Preacher, teacher, whatever it is. And Jesus goes on to say, he says, listen in verse 22, many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not use our gifts? Don't you know who I am? I'm the one that sang that song where everybody was teared in their eyes and they gave me an offering or went and bought me some stuff. Don't you remember who I am?
All right.
Look at my ring. Look at my watch. Look at my car, Jesus. Right?
Yeah.
He said, many people will say to me on the day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? And in your name, drive out demons and perform many miracles. What does that mean? They use their gifts. And so many people think because you have a gift and it works when you use it, since it's right, you're right. But it was the name of Jesus that caused that to be right. This is what Jesus says to them. He says, then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. There's so much hoodoo going on. There is more here going on. A social justice movement would be like a do. When your brother's dying and when your sister's dying and you come together to encourage each other and all you talk about is what are you doing, you're in to do. But there's another people. And these are the people God's looking for. And these are the ones that are not deceived. These are the ones that are not going to be confronted at the throne room of God and say, listen, you know, away from me, you evildoers. Think about it, you evil doers, right?
Mm-hmm.
These are people who hear the word of God and they do what it says. I mean, you think about it. He says in James chapter 1, verse 25, he says, but the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do this, not forgetting what he has heard, but doing it, he will be blessed in all he does. Think about it. I hear, you want to be blessed? Do what you heard.
Yeah.
Do what you read. Do what you heard in your abiding time. And he goes on to say in James chapter 2 and verse 18, when he just got to talk about faith without works or deeds or doing is dead, just because you heard it don't mean you're right. You're going to have to do what you heard. In verse 18, James 2, 18, he says, but someone would say, you have faith, I have works, I have deeds, I have doing. He says, show me your faith without works or doing, and I will show you my faith by what I do. You believe that there is one God? Good. Even the demons believe and shudder. You foolish man. Do you want evidence that faith without doing? Do you want evidence that just hearing and doing and hoodoo is wrong? He said, you foolish man, do you want evidence that faith without deeds is useless? Was not our ancestor Abraham considered righteous for what he did when he offered his son Isaac on the altar? You see that his faith and his actions, his doing, his hearing what God said, his doing what God said, were working together. And by this, his faith was made complete by what he did. Listen, are you incomplete? If you are a hearer, if you are a doer, you know, you got a lot of cards, business cards that talk about what you do, right?
Mm-hmm.
If you are a hoodooer, I mean, you're booking engagements based on your gift when your life's falling apart. I got good news for you. Your faith can be complete. You can be like the father of faith. You can please God. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. You can be a part of the kingdom of God. You do this by one simple thing. You hear what God says. Abide with him. Hear his word. Hide his word in your heart. And do what he says. And he says, when you do this, you'll be blessed in all you do. You're listening to VFN Radio. We'll be right back after these messages.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Is it lawful to have religious material displayed in the workplace? This is Law and Justice with Jay Sekulow.
My question is, I work at a facility that is not government-owned, and they do not allow me to put up religious emblem or religious saints in my cubicle where I work. And I was just wondering whether or not they have the right to make me take these things down.
If they allow personal artifacts, personal posters, reports, these kind of things, artwork to be hung in a cubicle area, they should not say yours is inappropriate. A number of years ago, there was an attempt to create what was called by the EEOC then a religious-free workplace, but there was a huge outcry against that, and the end result of that huge outcry was those regulations never went into effect. So, no, you should be in great shape there. Let me get you in touch with our lawyers at the American Center for Law and Justice, and we will get some information to you and see if we can help you out.
Find out more at ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org.
Don't forget, we have four programs back-to-back and 24-7. We're on 24-7, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. To be able to encourage you, keeping the conversation light, and understand what that means is Jesus commanded us. He commanded us to be the light of the world. So we can look at what's happening, educate ourselves, and then we could look at God's word and shine the light of God's word on what's happening, our education, and go, you know what? We can be inspired by God's word, you know, by illuminating what's happening with God's word. And then it can inspire us to know, you know, wow. And there's an answer for this, but most of all, after all of that, all we have at this point is a pep rally unless it activates you. And our desire is to activate you in your marriage and your family and your workplace and your ministry and your church gathering, wherever, it's just activate you to be what everything God's called you to be. And that's our goal. That's mm-hmm. our goal mm-hmm. on VFN Radio and VFN TV and the Christian Television Network.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light. With your host, Greg Lancaster.
Larry Kreider just put out a post I thought was pretty cool called Awake to Righteousness. And Larry Kreider... he wrote the books Foundations of Faith and a few others. He's a real cool dude. But he says in his Awake to Righteousness, a little post, he says, did you ever wake up on a holiday and find your alarm ringing in the morning and it's normal time? Like say you're going to get up at 8 and it rings at a normal time. You ever find yourself wake up on a holiday and find your alarm ringing in the morning at a normal time? You wake up and tell yourself you have to go to work, and then you realize, hey, this is a holiday. I can sleep in. And what you're doing at that point, he says, you're awakening to the truth. You see what I'm saying? He says, the Bible tells us to awake to righteousness in 1 Corinthians 15:34. Righteousness means being right with God through faith in Christ. And it has nothing to do with how we feel at the moment. He goes on to write, it has everything to do with our complete dependence on Jesus Christ, who alone makes us righteous, as we trust him by faith. When we believe him, who raised Jesus from the dead, the Bible tells us that we are made righteous through faith. That's Romans 4:24. This is an awesome revelation. Tell yourself the truth. I am a man or woman of God. I can go to work and enjoy it. I can share my faith. I can love my parents. I can raise a family for the Lord regardless of my present circumstances. I can take a step of faith. I will get out of debt. I will be victorious over sin. I will fulfill my God-given destiny. I am righteous through faith in Jesus Christ today. Pretty cool. Mm. Mm-hmm. We awaken to the God-given truth that we can live righteously and victoriously by grace, by the grace of God. We, when we do that, we are awakening to the righteousness that is in Jesus Christ. Either we trust God and receive his righteousness by faith, or we get religious trying to repay God with our good works for our sins and mistakes. There are many people in mental hospitals, he writes today, that are religious people who have not experienced true righteousness that comes by faith. Righteousness through faith in Christ is the only way to experience true freedom. Awake today to righteousness. Isn't that awesome?
Wow. That's awesome. Yeah.
You know, and that's if you've ever been caught up in works, you probably thought about going to a mental institution, trying to repay God for all your stuff. And it's like all day long, it's like two pennies and you still owe $1 trillion, right?
Yeah. Mm. And deficit.
It's a huge deficit, right?
No doubt.
And it's just awakening to that. Like you wake up and it's, you know, you're fixing to go to work and you realize, oh my goodness, it's a holiday.
Yeah. It's important to receive it by faith. I remember Jewish Myers talking about that.
What's that?
So you have to receive it by faith.
Right.
I remember Joyce Myers talking about that, and she said she'd get up every morning and declare, I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And her declaring that and letting faith arise, you know, her faith was matching her declaration, and she was teaching on that, and I thought it was very powerful.
That's very good, you know, because what happens in those struggles when we don't have the understanding of that, that you'll find where somebody sins or makes a mistake or fails, and all men sin and all men fail, but it's the things that you hate. It's not something, the thing I hate, I do.
Right.
It's not, you know, contemplation of it. Mm-hmm. And somebody who's moving in works and trying to repay God for their forgiveness is somebody that will repent. They'll say, God, forgive me for the sin. But they'll spend a week or two moping around, you know, beating themselves emotionally, causing everybody else to feel miserable. And it's like, you're moving in self-righteousness. You know, either he forgave you when you legitimately asked and repented, or you're earning it because all of a sudden after 2 weeks, you're like, oh, I'm all fine. It's like, you know what? You've convinced yourself that you beat on yourself long enough to earn God's forgiveness. And it's like, that ain't enough beating because you got to go see what happened on the cross. That is the beating that he took for us. And we have to receive what he did by faith for us. That's how awesome it is.
And there, died there.
Yeah, which means that it's a powerful moment in your life when you have sin and you're able to go to God boldly and say, Dear God, you know, I've sinned. Forgive me. Cleanse me from this unrighteousness in my life. Give me the power and the grace to turn away from this. That's a powerful thing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because by faith, you receive that and God gives it to you by faith because you had faith. And then he takes your sin and removes it away from you as far as the east is from the west and throws it into the sea of forgetfulness and remembers it no more. That's a powerful thing. But people who struggle with, who haven't awakened to righteousness like Larry Crider's talking about, they just keep bringing it up again and again and again. It's like, didn't you repent from that last year? What's, you know, my goodness, you know? And it's just like, but the thing is that they're trying to earn that, trying to figure out, how do I get out of this dilemma? The dilemma can only be resolved at the cross. It's the only place it can be resolved. Legitimate brokenness, a desire to do right, and asking God to forgive you is what he asks. That's it.
Yeah.
That's it. And then you got to trust God then to walk out and be confident that he can empower you to walk boldly before him outside of that sin, because your total dependency is on his finished work on the cross of Christ, and not on your ability to do good, even though you do good, but the good in you is God. We'll be right back.
We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today. The $50 Eye Guy, where they have everything from Rex to Specs. If you want to visit them today, they're right across from Home Depot in Pensacola. Visit a $50 Eye Guy today. so you can see. AB Mobile Mechanics, fast, friendly, and fair. Everything from ACs to water pumps, on-site repair all over the Gulf Coast. Give them a call today. Contact ADTS, Security and Alarm Monitoring. If you want to secure your home or your business, contact them today for all of your security needs. Cameras, monitoring, and even medical pendants. Do it today. For your sewing and sewing machines, contact Sue, the sewing specialist, at All About Sewing, your sewing superstore in Mobile, Alabama. Don't forget to contact her at 251-634-3133. It's All About Sewing with Sue.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Jesus said, "You know them by their fruit." That's the only way we can really tell who we really are. And then he even tells us, apart from abiding in him, we can't even bear that fruit. Listen to Francis Chan, the author of Crazy Love and leader of and founder of Multiply Movement, share this exact thing. We are known by our fruit.
You know, the fruit will show. You know, if the tree's for real, it's going to bear fruit.
Yeah.
You'll see the action, but we want to make those statements, and we're not following up, and we're deceiving ourselves. I was thinking about this the other day, you know, how James talks about how we can be hearers of the word, but not doers, and so we're deceiving ourselves because we're listening and amen, 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 but we're not doing it, and you know, Satan is the father of lies. He loves deception. He loves to deceive people. But I think in a lot of ways, he's very happy with what he sees in a lot of gatherings because they're like, I don't even need to work there. They're deceiving themselves. They're going there, you know, hearing a message, amening it, and not doing it. They're deceiving themselves. I think Satan's actually very pleased. I want to be careful with it. I mean, based on what I see in Scripture, I think there are times when he's pleased that the Word of God is preached and not obeyed, and that deception is going on, because that's his MO. That's what he loves to do. He loves to deceive. And so if there's a bunch of people thinking they're following God because they're going, oh, yeah, I heard a really tough message by David Platt the other day. You know, I heard this. I got so convicted, I walked away. I even walked away sad. Me and my friends, we even cried. You know, it's just like this, we did it. And I really think the enemy is going, oh, this is great. This is great. They're not, when Jesus was about repent, like, let me see you turn. John the Baptist, repent. Let me see you turn. Peter, repent. You know, it's turn, 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 and we're all about feel bad, make a grand statement. And I think Satan's actually pleased with that.
You're listening to Francis Chan, author of Crazy Love and Multiply Movement. You can find it at multiplymovement.com. Listen, you need to be fruitful. We are known by our fruit. It's going to be a fruit inspection time at the throne room of God, because it's not that we're not earning our salvation. The very fact that we are saved, we are fruitful. Listen, if you want to be fruitful today, begin to make this Jesus Christ the Lord of your life. If you haven't yet done that, go to meetmyfather.org. Meetmyfather.org. We shared a couple of our stories and how to do that. Then begin to abide with him and be his disciple. And we have a plan for you, a simple plan for you. Right now, free. Just go and request it at iabide.org. iabide.org. Eternity weighs in the balance. Your eternity.
And I'm telling you, if you missed any of our programs, we have four programs back to back. You want to make sure to catch them. Of course, you can always go to vfntv.com. But don't forget, we have podcasts available for you. If you haven't signed up for the newsletter, oh my goodness, sign up. Go to VFNTV.com. In the right-hand corner, you can select newsletter sign up, and every single week, you're going to get the highlights of that week's program, and you're also going to get an opportunity to get every single program
that was available, that was shared on that week's segment.
Wow.
So it's all contained in an email, and you can take it, you know, have VFN radio on my phone, and we'll go, you know, on your iPad. And I get so many reports of people telling me, hey, listen, I was just sitting with my iPad, it went to the newsletter, and it just, you know, click, 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 and I just heard one after the other, you know. It's a great way. So sign up for yourself, and also sign up a friend.
Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
I'm Greg Lancaster. Joining us today is Pat Hamilton.
Hello, hello.
And John Ramos.
Hello, hello.
Well, I do want to say this. Hopefully I have time to be able to share this with you. You know, are you longing to have a move of God in your life? I mean, just all of a sudden, you know, you've been toting water, you've been doing all this hard work, going to the well, dipping your bucket in the well, you're cranking it up, and yeah, you're having these experiences, but it's taken so much of you to be able to do it. And a move of God is like a river. It's like a river that all of a sudden just begins to carry you, and God's doing it, and you're just getting into what he's doing. It's the river of God that is flowing from the throne of God. It's when God just all of a sudden decides he rewards, or whatever reasons he has, which are all good, he just begins to gush the glory of God in like a river, a current that's just flowing through your life. And I just want to encourage you that in your faith, understand that it will happen because you have faith that it'll happen, that God wants, loves you. God's got a plan for your life. He wants you to abide with him. He wants you to advance his kingdom. He wants a move of God in your life, not just for you, but through to go through you. And your faith, he wants this. He wants you to be whole. You think about it, and it's going to require your faith. The only thing that moves God, not hunger, not pain, not sickness, not poverty. If it did, look at all the opportunities to move in the earth. Somebody says, why would God allow this? Well, why don't they just have faith? Why don't you go preach the gospel to them? They have faith, and then God begins to respond in there.
Right.
It's like, oh, so he's not moving there because I'm not going there. Then I need to go there and preach the good news to them so that they have faith. And then God would, oh, I see. Oh, my goodness. I was blaming God for my own refusal to obey him in the Great Commission. Got it. Okay, think about this. He said, you know, when the lady was healed from the issue of blood, she knew that if I just get to him and touch the hem of his garment, he turns around, he says, you know, your faith has made you whole. He didn't say, I made you whole. He didn't say that the disciples around made you whole. The doctrine made you whole. It was something inside of her. It was a measure of what God has given all of us. When she tapped into that and turned it towards God, her faith made her whole. It's your faith. It's your faith in God. That's why the devil beats you up with so many lies, so you won't step up and just trust God and believe him to use you like Charles Seymour was used. One man with bad vision, I think he had vision in one eye, rejected by anything and everything, cried out as he was renting a room in California that all of a sudden the Lord just honored that faith, and just suddenly an outpouring of God, which we refer to as Azusa Street, but it happened on Azusa Street. That's why we call it Azusa Street. And God began to move. We think about Amy Semple McPherson. We think about Mariah Etter. We think about Steve Hill. We think about Oral Roberts. Listen, it's about just going after God. Join with us in the beginning of the extra hour, because we are going to be talking about a move of God that's resting in you, waiting to get out of you, waiting to be stirred and other people to be touched and be turned to God, because you busted through the crowds of doubt and unbelief and pharisaical bondage. And you say, you know what? I'm going to believe God in my generation. I'm going to believe him for a move. I'm going to believe him for everything he says. And it's going to be awesome. There's a move of God inside of you. Listen, if you're a believer, and even if you're not a believer, today you can make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life. And from this point on, you're part of the family of God, and you can listen to what I'm saying. But listen, God gives to each man a measure of faith. A measure of faith. It doesn't tell us that we all got the same measure. Mm-hmm. You know, but it gives us a measure of faith. And in that you connect that faith to God and begin to cry out to God and say, Lord, you know, I want, and what happens is it's Christ in you, the hope of glory. And what happens is that the kingdom of God that's within you gets released in the environment when you have faith for it to be released, and things happen when the king is around. And when two of us get together in agreement, Jesus as king rules in our presence, because this is where two or more gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst of it. By the way, when Jesus shows up, you know, he's the king.
That's it.
He's the king. That's what the kingdom is all about. And so we're believing God for a third great awakening, a third great awakening. It'll begin with the fear of the Lord. Listen, a sin will not stop until a man fears the Lord and the consequences of his decision. Because there's no fear of the Lord, just all these things are taking place. Changing the scriptures, choosing not to read, teaching the word of God, but not even reading the word of God. It's like, anyway. And so, but think about that. When you think about Charles Seymour, as I was talking about, who was in California and his life, and you could find out more about him on The Torch. Go to VFNTV.com and click on The Torch. One of God's generals. He just cried out. He was desperate. Desperate for God. And when we're desperate for God, we're aware of God, and we're aware that God's aware of us, and we're just getting in tune with what he wants to take place on earth. That's how he told us to pray, right? Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And his will is to let everyone know that he loves them and has a plan for their life, and the only thing that he doesn't love is a thing that divides them from a destiny with him, which is sin. But he'll deal with that if we'll confess that and make Jesus Christ the Lord of our life. And he wants them to know, and he wants to heal the brokenhearted. He wants to set the captive free. He wants to heal our emotions, heal our body. He wants to reveal his secrets to us. He wants a relationship with you. And he wants you to let people know he wants a relationship with them outside of you. This move of God, this powerhouse, the kingdom that's inside of you, the glory waiting to be released inside of you. Listen, Christ in you is the hope of glory to manifest where you are in your marriage, in your family, in your house, in your ministry, in your gathering, in your workplace, in your city, in your nation. Listen, we have to step up and say, you know what? You know, understand this. Every time that Satan is not going to be kicking back and go, oh, great, you're crying out for a move of God, and God's going to respond, and I'm not going to mess with you. Listen, a great door of opportunity is open to me, Paul said, but with it, much persecution. God says, you know, you can't give up anything for him and not be returned 100-fold this lifetime and the lifetime to come. But with it, persecution. Mm-hmm. He talks about the seed and the sower. But what happens when the seed is sowed, understand that you'll do battle with that word, and persecution will come because of the word. I mean, you're going to have to fight. It's the kingdom of God has been forcefully advancing since the time of John the Baptist, Jesus said, and it's forceful men to lay hold on it. But understand, if you're willing to do the work, you know, it's the working of miracles. It's the working of a move of God. It takes work, don't it?
That's right.
These show up, blow in, blow up, and blow out. Say, hey, hang around for the work.
Yeah, right.
And understand that we're believing God for a third great awakening, and I just want to stir the faith of God inside of you. I want you to be like the woman with the issue of blood, so desperate that you're willing to go to a place that everybody else told you you couldn't be, because she had an issue of blood. She couldn't touch anybody, and she was supposed to be outside the city because she was considered unclean. She didn't even care. She just wanted to get to Jesus. And the people hanging around Jesus, when Jesus said, who touched me, they didn't have a clue what was going on. But he said, virtue has left me. The anointing has left me. And he turns around to see who it was, and he says, who's touched me? And all the people that are familiar with him said, what do you mean? Come on, let's go. And he says, you know, he looks around, he sees her down on the ground, healed, whole. And he says, your faith has made you whole. So your faith, the release of the glory out of you, done under and in the kingdom of God, is this move of God that's waiting to take place. So by hearing the word of God, the testimonies of the manifestation of the glory of God will begin to stir your faith and their faith and transform not only your life, but the life of others around you. What will it cost you? Oh, everything. But it's God. No, wait a minute. It's really God.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It's like, you don't mind giving it. I was like, If I would have known God was like this, I would have made this decision a long time ago. I was sold a religious bill of goods. I always thought I had to sit there and listen to something that they didn't even understand they were telling me.
Right.
But I got God. And I'm going to spend eternity with him. And I have this little thing called a vapor of time, a small amount of time for me to be able to do something for him to show my gratitude. Well, I don't know what kind of how much freedom I have left. I don't know how much time I have left. I don't know how much life I have left. But I want to give it all for the cause that you might know Jesus Christ as your Lord. Now, I'm talking about really know him and him know you. Understand the demons believe and know that Jesus exists and they tremble. I'm talking about the point where you know him and you tremble. But you also know his love and his compassion. And that fear of the Lord, that trembling that takes place in your life, allows you to be used by God in ways you never thought possible because the fear of the Lord constrains you. The fear of the Lord leads you, and a move of God that's inside of you can be released. Christ in you, the hope of glory.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
You know, when I'm sitting here thinking about, the Lord, our God, that when he was with his people, and we could read the word of God, and he shows us, he demonstrated his ability to provide for his people in the wilderness. The first thing he did when he delivered Israel out of bondage and slavery was to take them in a place that they had to totally see that he was going to provide for them no matter what. They were surrounded by conditions with no water and no provision, and they just had to trust God. They had to abide with God and think about that. And God demonstrated his ability to meet their needs despite what was going on in their economy and their ecology, with their environment, with the heat and the weather and all that. As a matter of fact, listen to Brother John Kilpatrick with Church of His Presence, and I'll be right back.
And the other day, the Holy Spirit said this to me. He said, tell the church, son, when you get back up to preach, he said, tell the church that these things are going to get worse. He said, but tell them, for those that will live by my word, it'll have no effect on them whatsoever. He said, it'll have no effect on them. And what the Holy Spirit here is saying is, even though the economy, like what prophets are saying right now, is that there may be some states in the United States that might be not friendly toward Israel, or they might be real liberal, and they're going to start suffering financially. And there might be other states in the United States that loves Israel and loves God, and they're a God-fearing state, and they have a good governor and good legislature, and they're trying to please God, and they're just going to prosper and get all kinds of new businesses and everything. The Holy Spirit said, just as that's working like sheep states and goat states in the United States, he said the same thing's going to happen in a city, that whoever tithes and obeys me and loves me and serves me, I will pour out my favor on them and my blessings upon them. And nothing can thwart my blessings on these people. They're going to be a demonstration to everyone around them what it means to be a child of God. So I want to encourage you right now in Jesus' name, God is about to bless your socks off right under the devil's nose.
That's so encouraging. That's exactly what, you know, that God's been sharing with us. That's what we're hearing from Rick Joyner and Morningstar Ministries, and those are hearing from the Lord. Listen, don't panic. You're about to be a sign. You're about to be a wonder if you're abiding with God. Jesus said very specifically in John 15, 5 through 7, he says, I am the vine. You are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, or abide in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. But apart from me, you can do nothing. Think about this. He says, if you remain in me and my word remains in you, ask whatever you wish and it'll be done for you. Just like God provided for Israel in the wilderness, the manna that came down in the morning, the shade, and when everybody else is hot, they were covered. God's going to take care of you if you stick with God. You begin to abide with him. If you don't know how to abide with him, you want to begin to abide with him. You know Jesus, but you want to abide, learn how. We have a simple plan for you. You can go to iabide.org, iabide.org, and request your simple plan today. Listen, if you're walking in obedience and abiding with the Lord, hearing his voice, relating to him, he's got you covered. That's iabide.org.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
There comes a point in time when you can't even resist your enemies anymore. You just have no power, you have no strength left, and you're just going into captivity. And it's pretty much God saying, I've tried everything to get your attention, and you're not listening to me, so you're going to be taken and sold as slaves to your enemy, what he says.
Yeah.
And first he sends people in. He allows people to be sent in to, but he actually sent them in, if you read about Israel, to raid his people. Because his people, you understand, they were pagans. They totally left God, the knowledge of God, and just wanted to begin to do their own thing. And that's what's happened today, in today's culture. As a matter of fact, right, I believe it was in Oregon, Seattle, there was people in the town square dancing around a golden calf in, you know, belly dancing type things. And it's just amazing how, you know, once you're given over to something, it's like, do you realize what you're walking out here? And then, so here we are at this point, and you start looking, you know, is the church in America going to wake up? You know, and the one thing that we have to respond to, remember, the first thing that happens is God was sending raiders. And you can see this, it's called This Generation on VFN TV. Don't give up hope. Even for a pagan generation, this stuff has happened over and over again. And but God rescues his people when they begin to turn back to him. But in that, he sends raiders to just take away all the stuff and things and everything that, that his people wouldn't give up and wouldn't honor him with. Then and maybe that's going to get their attention. And it's like everything's being taken away right now. It seems like you're actually are doing well when you're borrowing money. But the truth is, they're going to start calling for their loans. You can get this false sense of doing well. And when you borrow money, I'll never forget years ago when I got my first loan, I had this sense of like, wow, it was amazing, you know? And
until that statement came in, man.
Well, you know, I was very young. I was probably was 17 or something. I don't know what I was, 18. And you just have this ignorant sense of, you know, this is great. Mm-hmm. And then you think, because it's a false feeling that that's not your money. That's somebody letting you borrow their money, but you still don't know it yet because the first payment's not due. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden, the payment comes due. And then you start realizing more and more of your life now is starting to have to pay for what you borrowed in the past. So if you don't gain wisdom from that, you think, well, I need to borrow some more money so I can have what experience that I had prior to that. And so if you fall captive to the American mindset, you would go borrow more money. And you have that feeling for a moment, and you're able to take care of some things. But eventually, just like the first loan, you're going to have to pay for that. Mm-hmm. And eventually, your entire income for that month is committed to debt service because you're paying off loan A, loan B, loan C, loan D, and you have no money left. Mm-hmm. Well, it was not true. You really weren't doing well when you were borrowing money. You just felt like you were doing well. And now, not only were you not doing well before you borrowed money, now you're not doing well and you're indebted to the lender.
Right.
Now, you know, your things and stuff are going to be raided if you don't pay attention to the taskmaster who now rules your life. And I encourage you, you know, do everything you can to get out of debt, lower your debt down. Don't take on extra stuff right now, because everything that you owe, it looks like, you know, the adversary is going to begin to control, you know, God's people and the people of the land. China, at any moment, could begin to call their loan back. Although their economy is kind of struggling right now, if they do that, that leaves no choice but for the American government to respond and pay their money back.
Right.
I mean, Germany asked for their gold, by the way, and they said, okay, it's going to take us 7 years to get it. You know, we don't know where we put it at, but we're going to get to it. And they said something like, we're going to give you like 10% of it.
All right.
Isn't that something?
Wow.
You get 10% of it. And it's like, wow. And you really think that if something happens that you're going to be able to run to the bank and go, hey, I need some money. They say, okay, I'll tell you what, it's going to take us 7 years to get it out, but we're going to give you 10% of it in 7 years.
Mm-hmm.
It just goes to show you, they told a whole nation that it's going to take, we're not going to give you all your gold, but we'll give you like 10% of it, whatever it was. And it's going to take 7 years for the whole process to happen.
Wow.
Of course, probably it's war debt and things, you know, if you, we'll help you out if you put your gold with us or something. But it's just amazing what's taking place right now. And so I want to encourage you, begin to think wisely and get free. I think about the shrewd young manager that Jesus talked about. That this is Jesus. This is God talking through his son, Jesus, Emmanuel, God in the flesh. You've seen the son, you've seen the father. He said this. He said, there was this manager that found out that he was going to be fired. He found out he was going to be fired and for not doing a good job or whatever. And so he was collector. He would collect for his boss. You know, they would come and they would give grain and different kinds of products for his master. And he would, for his boss, and he would pay them or he would charge them for them coming to get products, for example. And when he found out he was going to lose his job, he realized, he says, man, I'm too proud to dig ditches, I guess you would say. But I'm too proud to be a servant. And he said also that he's not going to have anything. So he needs to say, yeah, we can start, I need to start doing some things, being nice to these folks, so at least I'm welcome into somebody's house.
Right.
You know? And you'll find out the practices in America that if leaders don't change their way, because you only leave for a period of time anyway, is you won't be welcome in anybody's house.
That's right.
And so this is Jesus telling the story. And so what the man does, he starts calling people in. He says, how much do you owe my boss? And the man, they would say something like $1,000. He said, well, I'll cut it in half. Just pay $500 and you're free.
Mm-hmm.
And then somebody else, he says, how much do you owe? And they said something like, you know, I don't know, $500 or whatever. And he says, just pay a percentage of it. Don't worry about it. You're taken care of. And Jesus said this boss man came to this employee and commended him. I mean, what kind of boss is going to, you know, go, just thank you for giving away my products and my finances?
I never understood that.
Well, the whole thing is this, is that it's all God's.
Yeah.
And he understood the priority of things, and the priority of things is to be good to people and not just to get your stuff and things and treat people bad. And it has nothing to do. It boils down to how you're treating God and how you're treating others, by the way, and how you're treating others is how you're treating God. And so Jesus said, the manager or the boss man comes in there and tells this guy, man, he commended him. He's like, great job. I can see the ceremony now. I just want to thank him. He did such a good job. And he called him a shrewd manager because he began to make decisions that were based on his reality. He realized, hey, you know, I'm not going to have a job. And this is where America is right now. We need to start making better decisions, understanding that our future is going to be different than our present.
Mm-hmm.
And the first thing you can do is stop just living for yourself. You know, if you're a Christian, you're supposed to have denied yourself and follow Jesus anyway. So, hey, this is a good time, this side of history.
All right.
Start doing it now. And so afterwards.
Figure it out now.
And in the words that I'm telling, you know, that, you know, Pat can testify to, you know, I don't ever call myself a prophet, but it seems to be prophetic words come out.
That's right.
I'm shocked. Oh, yeah. Oh, my goodness. That's prophetic. But was many people are going to be losing their jobs.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody had a job by that time. Everybody's all employed, spending all their money around the world, around America. And of course, everybody looked at me strange. And I said, there's going to be a day that CEOs, former CEOs of organizations will be standing in Walmart, working in Walmart, and be happy about it and be thankful and grateful that they just have a job.
Mm-hmm.
And this week, I heard on the news, a particular man that was worked in the banking industry, CEO type, that was out of a job for 2 years, and there's obviously a lot of people out of work, and doesn't seem that our government's concerned about it.
Right.
And he said on the interview, when he got finally got a job, he got a job as a branch manager, you know, from CEO, leader of bank industry, mm-hmm. to just a branch manager, something on a branch manager, but you understand that's, for him, it would be a home.
Right, huge job.
They said, well, how do you think about this kind of presented way as a demotion? And the guy says, I'm just grateful. I get up every morning and I'm grateful to have a job. I just did not realize how fragile this thing is. And see, God holds all things together. And this shrewd young manager that Jesus gave us an example of, he realized that God is in control, and it matters how you treat people, and it matters more so the horizontal and the vertical versus what's happening in the economies and what's happening in business, what's happening with your stuff and things. And if in the end you still love people and they still care about you because you did right before them and God, then you did well. No matter how it turns out, you'll be commended too.
We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today. Blue Angel Hot Tub Pool and Spa. If you're looking to make some additions to your home, consider today visiting Joyce at Blue Angel Hot Tub Pool and Spas, and they ship nationwide. Brunson Air and Heating in Mobile. They can do all of your service work quick and efficient. Give them a call today. Brunson Air and Heating. You'll be glad that you did. Visit Copy Products today with 5 locations on the Gulf Coast to better serve you. They can help you with all of your copying and scanning needs. Copy machines, fax machines, scanners, printers, shredders, and so much more. Contact them today at 850-432-1580.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget, you can catch us at VFNTV.com on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.
Steve, oh my goodness. How many times you're trying to explain Vine Fellowship Network? And like, really, how do you explain
right.
this awesome revelation? Well, so many people are talking to me and they want to know more because they're so attracted to being the church instead of going to the church. Well, that's why we have Vine Seminars. Vine Seminars is an awesome opportunity how you can begin to start seeing this progressive revelation
right.
that has just been shared by God, how it's not as complicated as religion's made it out to be, but how it truly, truly is all about family and really fulfilling the Great Commission. Mm-hmm. I want to encourage you, get a chance and find out more at vineseminars.org.
Did you know that there's an app that'll make you taller?
Oh, I need that app then. Is that worth it?
I'm serious. Go on iTunes right now.
Really?
And like on your iPhone. Once you're on it, put your iPhone on the floor and then stand on your iPhone. Check it out. There's an app for that.
Is there an app to make you lose weight? I need that app too.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure. I've seen a few of those.
I too, but yeah. I need it. But
well, what there is an app for though, there's an app for the VFN TV daily radio program. You got to check it out. You can go on iTunes. Type in VFN TV and download it on your phone for free. You got all the daily live radio content. You've got all the radio feeds, everything we're talking about. You got it right there with you. So it's like VFN TV on the go. Check it out. VFNTV.com.